Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, a gift of $18 or more to Save America Industries. Can I urge you to become a partner? Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final now. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Dr. Jerry Corsi. Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Well, what would you like to talk about this evening?
Oh, your choice. Go right ahead.
Well, what are your views as far as the situation, the possibility that there's going to be a war in the Middle East, that the Israelis may very well, before too long, actually take a strike against Iran? What I'm hearing is that the Israelis believe that Iran may make a preemptive strike on Israel, and of course, a preemptive strike could wipe out that little country very easily, and so they are very seriously considering a preemptive strike on Iran. Is there any basis to that?
Well, all the information I'm getting from Israel is that...
Can you speak up just a little louder, please?
Yes, all the information I'm getting from Israel is that Israel is ready to expand the conflict. If the flotillas continue to challenge Israel, it could take any incident, and Israel, I believe, in making the decision to interdict the flotilla with commandos realizes that this could lead to a war, ultimately a regional war that would involve Iran, which is the real culprit behind a lot of the mischief in the Middle East, a lot of the antagonism towards Israel, the active financial and military support of Hamas in the Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon. So I'm getting comments from my sources in Israel that say, why not now? I mean, there's no indication at all that the Obama administration has a plan that will stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons. And if that's the case, and if the Obama administration appears increasingly to be distancing itself from Israel, then Israel doesn't have much reason to wait for the war that's inevitably coming.
Well, of course, one of the big concerns is the shift, this very recent shift of Turkey from being a firm ally of Israel to becoming increasingly a firm ally of Iran. And certainly it's one thing to have Iran to the east, but to have Turkey to the north, a very, very powerful Muslim nation, which certainly now is becoming increasingly aligned with the jihadists. This is rather a frightening thing for the Israelis, isn't it?
It certainly is. And again, if you look at the issue of time, the longer that Israel waits, I mean, this was the whole focus of my most recent book on Israel, Why Israel Can't Wait, is that Israel is constantly here in a debate internally whether more time to resolve the conflict ultimately with Iran is going to make any difference at all. If the Obama administration came into power, as you know, Dr. Stan, saying they wanted to negotiate with Ahmadinejad. Well, that failed. The discussions in Geneva to try to get a settlement for Iran to enrich their uranium outside of Iran ended up in a stalemate.
Well, now, my understanding is that Turkey and Brazil recently offered to do that, and the Americans weren't too interested in that arrangement. What's the background of that? Any idea?
The background of that is it looked to Israel as to be just another ploy. that Iran was still going to continue enriching its own uranium, and in the process also get highly enriched uranium for supposedly peaceful purposes now from Turkey, and it just didn't make any sense at all.
All right, so basically they turned down the deal, and so basically we're really looking at the very real possibility of an Israeli attack on Iran in the not-too-distant future.
I believe so.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with our good friend, Dr. Jerome Corson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is, of course, Dr. Jerome Corson. Now, one of the things we're hearing, and I'd like to know what you're hearing, anything similar, is that we're moving a number of aircraft carrier task forces, into that area. And they're going to be arriving there certainly by the end of July, 1st of August. And certainly Obama had pulled these. I think we only had one carrier task force there in the Persian Gulf. He pulled that out. But now they're suddenly bringing them back in again, almost as if Washington, D.C. is firmly convinced the war is coming.
Well, and also, Israel has moved nuclear submarines into the Gulf, again through the Suez Canal. So Israel is positioned with a nuclear capability from nuclear submarines, as well as their nuclear capability in Israel, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles. This is shaping up, I think, to be a confrontation where one event could easily trigger a regional war. If there's another boat coming to challenge Israel again on the blockade, this is the next couple of days, next very few days, is going to be another opportunity for Israel to interdict with military force the boat. Again, incidents could cause in the Gaza missile attacks, protests, riots, other incidents which could escalate the violence in the Gaza. I mean, I can just see a progression of events, one leading to the other, where Gaza explodes with missile attacks on Israel. Hezbollah is willing to support Hamas. Again, rocket attacks could come from Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Israel's at a point where there's, what are they going to wait for? The negotiations that Obama wanted to do with Ahmadinejad have failed. Now the Obama administration says they want to go for more sanctions in the UN. There's absolutely no chance with Russia and China on the Security Council and supporting Iran that we're going to get any meaningful sanctions out of the Security Council. So the prognosis here, I mean, the future, as far as Israel is concerned, is that more time will just play to the benefit of the radicals in Iran making nuclear weapons, arming Hezbollah and arming Hamas, and creating more confrontations. So the issue is, from if Israel feels abandoned by the Obama administration, I think that's increasingly the case, Israel's going to decide that they are at a point of self-defense. And as such, there is no reason to wait because there's no prospect a diplomatic solution is going to resolve the problem.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Corsi is basically saying that Israel's to a point now they can't depend upon the Obama administration. They really can't depend upon anybody else. They're desperate. They're going to have to do something if they are going to survive. Now, apparently, there are going to be more ships that are going to be challenging the blockade of Gaza, and Israel has to blockade Gaza, not for humanitarian aid, but for certainly for the bringing in of missiles and other weapons of war, because, of course, the Palestinians there, the Hamas element of the Palestinians, already has been actually lobbing missiles into Israel. They have to stop that. But now, of course, apparently there's going to be an Irish ship within a week or so, maybe even a few days. They're going to be challenged in the blockade, probably other ships from the Turkey, and these are, rather than simply go in and be inspected and make sure that they don't carry any contraband, why, this is obviously an effort to precipitate a crisis at this time. At least that's what it looks like to me. What do you think, Jerry?
I agree, Dr. Stan, and when you take a look at this Free Gaza movement, and we've been writing about this on WorldNet Daily, the activists behind the Free Gaza movement include the same activists that have been in Chicago supporting President Obama for really decades. Bill Ayers, Bernardine Dorn, as well as the Code Pink founder, Jody Evans, all helped organize the Free Gaza movement. And there are indications, there are clear indications, film footage that shows that Ayers and Dorn were in Egypt provoking, again, riots, trying to open up the Gaza through Egypt. And this whole Free Gaza movement is not a humanitarian movement, but it's a leftist radical movement that's aimed at challenging the authority of Israel. The whole idea is if this blockade can be broken, the Israeli blockade can be broken, then Hamas, through Turkey and Iran, can be directly resupplied with a whole range of military activists, military weapons, radicals on boats coming into the directly into the Gaza ports. And Israel cannot allow that to happen. So Israel's in a no-win position. I mean, the radicals, Ayers, Dorn, the Code Pink founder, helping to organize this flotilla challenge to the blockade Israel has on the Gaza, is just going to present confrontation after confrontation in an attempt to ultimately open the Gaza to ships from Turkey, which could include military supplies and radicals to Hamas in the Gaza. So Israel has no choice but to stop the flotilla, and these challenges are evidently going to continue. As I say, another ship is headed towards the Gaza right now, and with confrontation after confrontation, these incidents have the possibility of escalating into initially a war, again like Operation Cast Lead, in which Israel went into the Gaza to try to militarily wipe out the most radical elements of the Hamas militants. Once that starts, again a chain reaction could occur and lead to a regional war. And Israel knows and has known since I wrote Why Israel Can't Wait. I interviewed all the top leadership, met with President Peres, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I think it's what Vice Prime Minister Yalon told me. In the final analysis, Israel will defend Israel, even if that means a preemptive attack against Iran, with or without the approval of the United States. And I think Israel's increasingly feeling cornered and abandoned by the United States, and that increases the chance and the likelihood that Israel will launch a military attack against Iran.
Well, now, I've been told, of course, Israel is very concerned that if Iran were to launch a missile attack on Israel, they would go after their nuclear generating plant. They'd go after their centers where they have their nuclear weapons stored. They'd go after their airports. And, of course, if you were to knock out the airports, Israel wouldn't be able to get its fighter planes into the air. In other words, it wouldn't be able to defend itself. So it would have to actually attack preemptively. Now, you mentioned that there were nuclear submarines. Aren't those diesel submarines that perhaps have nuclear warheads on their missiles?
Yes, they are nuclear-armed submarines.
Nuclear-armed submarines. And are these are these nuclear tactical weapons? Do we have any idea what they really are?
Tactical nuclear weapons that can be fired from the submarine, very much like our Polaris missiles. And they could, I'm not sure what the yield of those weapons are, but they're certainly sufficient to do huge damage to Iran. And if Israel is pushed to the point of survival, I'm sure Israel would consider nuclear attacks on Iran if it was a last resort. Israel is going to be pushed in a corner here increasingly, Dr. Stan. That's the problem.
Well, the difficulty is, of course, that apparently the nuclear development plants, sites in Iran are really very, very deep. And how would you possibly get to them? Well, we have our bunker buster bombs, whether they'd be able to get down, I don't know, half a mile or however, how deep it is. You'd almost perhaps have to use, if you didn't have the bunker buster bombs, you'd almost have to use nuclear weapons to get down there and disrupt the sites where they're actually enriching the uranium. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yes, and also Israel has developed its own bunker buster bombs. It's just a matter of If Israel goes to war with Iran, I think it's going to be a massive war. I don't think Israel is going to necessarily be restrained because it's a survival war. When you take a look at the missiles that are now resupplied into Hezbollah through Syria, into Lebanon, these are very powerful missiles that could reach Jerusalem from Lebanon. If the missiles can reach Jerusalem, they can also reach Ben-Gurion Airport. That's the only international airport in Israel. Tel Aviv, of course, is also vulnerable, which is the major commercial hub, banking hub, telecommunications hub. Many of the critical government offices, including military government offices of Israel in Tel Aviv. Israel knows that this is going to be a war that will inflict massive casualties on the Israeli population, and it's a war of survival. I mean, Ahmadinejad has challenged repeatedly that Israel needs to be wiped off the map of the Middle East and can be wiped off the map of the Middle East. And unfortunately, what Ahmadinejad is saying is correct. Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran, in addition to Syria, now possibly Turkey, have the military capability to basically destroy Israel, unless Israel reacts first and defends itself.
And that's really the situation, I think, that we're facing today. You know, my concern, Jerry, is while our attention is focused on the tragic events that are unfolding, you know, the Gulf of Mexico there, and, of course, on Tiger Woods, we can't forget Tiger Woods,
right.
Why this war, which could change the entire structure of the Middle East, is looming, and I think it's could be very well be very, very soon as we move our terror task forces into that area. Do you think that America would be drawn into the war if Israel were to launch a preemptive strike against Iran?
Well, certainly it's going to be a choice of the Obama administration whether to enter on the side of Israel if Israel launches a military attack against Iran in a preemptive sense. And I'm not confident that the Obama administration would support Israel. The Obama administration might, as they have already with the flotilla challenges, call on Israel to stand down from the blockade. And I'm increasingly writing in WorldNet Daily, and I'll be writing, there'll be more articles appearing here in the next few days, that I think the information I'm getting from Israel is that this Free Gaza movement is coordinating within the White House. You've got forces, you've got powerfully placed officials in the White House, including John Brennan, who's the counterterrorism expert on the National Security Council, whom I think his speeches have already indicated John Brennan has tilted toward Islam. Brennan has spent considerable time in the Middle East. He speaks Arabic. We've got him on YouTube video where he is, and White House video, where Brennan is addressing New York University law students. That meeting was put together by very radical elements within the United States. And if you look at the speech, we link to it in our various articles on WorldNet Daily. John Brennan is speaking Arabic to the Muslim students. He's calling Jerusalem by the Arabic name Al-Quds. He's basically praising Mecca and Medina as holy cities, praising the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage made supposedly once in the life of a Muslim to Mecca. And all of this tilting in the Obama administration toward the radical elements in the Gaza, including Hamas, are to the detriment of Israel and violate, change dramatically, U.S. policy, which has always supported Israel, going back to 1948.
Well, do you think Obama would really dare turn against Israel?
Yes.
Certainly there are powerful forces here in this country that are very pro-Israel. I would think that he would be really risking losing their support entirely if, indeed, he were to side with the Muslims in case of this confrontation.
Well, Obama has a history. We saw it in the debate over universal health care of disregarding public opinion to pursue his ideological goals. I predicted this when I wrote The Obama Nation. I predicted that Obama was an ideologue. He is not a pragmatic politician like Bill Clinton. If Obama saw a chance to press the capstone of socialism, universal medical care, and get it through U.S. Congress, he did it with or without U.S. public opinion. I think the same is the case with Israel. With or without U.S. public opinion, I believe Obama's prepared to tilt in favor of the radical Palestinian elements.
Well, I think that we're entering a very, very difficult time. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Dr. Corsi, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I feel that things are moving at a fantastic rate. The American people are not being told, because I think that I fear one way or the other that somehow we're going to be drawn into this terrible, terrible conflict that's going to be coming there in the Middle East. And it will have a profound impact on Europe and the United States. Well, Jerry, do you think that if Iran is attacked, that they would counter? I mean, certainly probably the best thing they would do would be certainly not to try to counter. But if they were to counter, and perhaps...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
very vulnerable. And if a war breaks out there in the next few months, why, we could have tremendous losses of American life. And then what would we do? Or if Sydney, and we have Sydney, the three or four carrier groups there in the Persian Gulf. And Sydney, although we know that some of the war games that have been carried out in the past, the Pentagon's always having war games. But in some of these war games, with even these little small boats that the Iranians have, swarming some of our major carriers, there could even be the loss of some of our major ships. Is that a possibility, if this should come to that sort of a confrontation?
Well, it is a possibility, Dr. Sam, because you've got the Iranians who have cruise missile capability. If you recall, in the 2006 war with Lebanon, the Lebanese Hezbollah fired a cruise missile on a Israeli ship in the Mediterranean and damaged the ship with the cruise missile. That was an Iranian-made cruise missile. It most likely had Iranian Revolutionary Guard that were involved in the firing of that missile. And it could be the same with our ships in the Gulf. It could be targeted by Iranian cruise missiles. Again, it's unpredictable. This is the problem. I've said for years, since I wrote Atomic Iran, I've been trying to prevent a war in the Middle East. I've been saying and predicting that it would occur, and I've been saying at the same time it will be the worst possible outcome. The tensions in the Middle East will only escalate dramatically. It'll be very difficult, even though Egypt and Saudi Arabia share Israel's concern with Iran, the Shiites, trying to get hegemony in the region through the development of nuclear weapons. If a war with Israel broke out, it would be very difficult for Egypt and Saudi Arabia, at least not on the surface, to support Iran. How this would play out would be determined in the first few hours, what scale the war would take. And then the reactions of the world, you know, one step leading to another. If we look back on the 20th century, the major wars started with relatively minor incidents. In fact, World War I with 1914, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo, the world at that time never expected that incident would lead to World War I, but it did. I think similarly, we've got a situation with these flotillas where any given incident could escalate into starting with Hamas in the Gaza, into a localized war that would quickly spread, Hezbollah getting involved in support of Hamas, Israel deciding that Iran was behind Hezbollah and Hamas and attacking Iran. And when I'm getting calls from Israel with top officials and people close to the officials saying, why not now? In other words, why wait? This is the whole point of my book, Why Israel Can't Wait.
And I share your concern. I think when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. We have been told from our sources that the Israeli embassies, the major ones here in the United States, been calling and leading Israelis, leading Jewish leaders here in the United States who are supporters of Israel, and being told that exactly the same thing. Israel cannot wait indefinitely that something big is in the offing. Right now, let's go to Tony, who's calling us from Michigan. Tony, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. Listen, I'm getting all confused.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question?
With your guest there, he said about cruise missiles.
Cruise missiles.
Where did Iran get cruise missiles from? They have those kind of scientists?
Yeah, they do. They
produce cruise missiles?
Certainly. Would you like to address that, Jerry?
Well, Iran first bought cruise missiles from China. This goes back maybe as far as 10 years ago. And then Iran started reverse engineering them so that Iran is now producing its own generation of cruise missiles, which are improved versions over the Chinese cruise missiles Iran initially bought. One was used in the 2006 war, fired by Hezbollah into the Mediterranean and hit an Israeli ship, which is clear evidence that Iran and their allies, Hezbollah at least, have cruise missile capability, which can hit ships in the Mediterranean, and I believe also in the Gulf.
Okay, now one other thing. Now the Shiites, aren't they Iranians too, with Iraq? Aren't they Shiites?
Well, first of all, the Shiites, the only Muslim country where the Shiites are in a majority is Iran.
Right, and isn't Iraq now led by Shiites?
Yes, and Iran has about a third of the population that are Shiites.
Because they have Sunnis and Kurds?
Sunnis and Kurds.
Right. And one more thing, so,
and also,
Gaza. One more thing, the Gaza.
Gaza.
Didn't Israel win the Gaza and then they traded it for peace?
Well, Israel fought Operation Cast Lead against Hamas in the Gaza. If you go back to, I believe, 2006, Hamas won the parliamentary election in the Gaza.
I know that, but I mean, before that, didn't Israel have the Gaza before that?
Yes.
They traded peace for land for peace, something like that?
Israel gave the Gaza under the Olmert government. When Prime Minister Olmert was head of Israel, they opened the Gaza to Palestinian Authority control. And then over time, the Hamas faction, the Hamas group won the parliamentary election.
Right, because they
took over the control politically of the Gaza.
And basically, Israel literally gave Gaza
to the Palestinians.
That's right. They gave it to them, and with the idea, of course, that their troops would bring peace.
Peace for land.
Hold up.
Peace.
We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, go right ahead. And let's, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, certainly, you know, well, what about the possibility of an Israeli airstrike? When we talked a couple of months ago, you mentioned the possibility of the Israelis actually sending their fighter planes carrying bombs, certainly through Egypt, across Saudi Arabia to attack Iran. But do the Iranians have yet in place these very sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles that Russia was going to supply, or is that something that's in the offing? And would that be another reason why Israel would want to strike now before those anti-aircraft missiles are in place?
Yes, Russia has agreed to deliver to Iran a new set of surface-to-air missiles called the S-300. Those have not yet been delivered. Israel has Iran has a set of previous surface-to-air missiles that were delivered from Russia. They're in place, but the more sophisticated surface-to-air missiles have not yet been delivered. Now, Israel would have to attack Iran if Russia did deliver those S-300 surface-to-air missiles, because that would up the ante so dramatically against an airstrike that it would be Iran would be in a much more secure position, and Israel would be almost forced to launch a preemptive attack for self-defense. So again, that's one of the issues. What does Israel gain from waiting? If the Obama administration is not going to put pressure on Iran to stop nuclear weapons, if effective sanctions are not going to be put in place through the UN, if direct negotiations between the Obama administration and Ahmadinejad in Iran have failed, and they have failed in the Geneva talks, then what's left? It's just a matter of time now until Iran develops nuclear weapons. And Israel's well aware of this. Every day now that goes brings Iran closer to nuclear weapons and gives Iran more time to arm.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi, who is the senior writer there at the WorldNet Daily. And before we go on, Jerry, would you like to give our listeners your website and tell them just quickly about a couple of the books that you have? I know you have a great recent book on the Shroud of Turin. You want to just put a plug for your books before we get back?
Certainly. I'm a senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily. And we're talking tonight about the book I wrote called Why Israel Can't Wait. I think it's a critical read. I spent a month in Israel interviewing the top leadership of Israel. And that book was written in 2009, and it gives the background for what's going on right now, Why Israel Can't Wait. My most recent book is a novel on the Shroud of Turin called The Shroud Codex. Codex being hidden message within the Shroud of Turin, and that book has done extremely well. The first printing is about sold out. And my books are available, Dr. Stan, either on the WorldNet Daily Superstore or on Amazon.com.
All right, and of course there's abomination, and there's certainly why Israel can't wait. And Dr., of course, he is a prolific writer. He has a PhD from Harvard, and certainly one of the most astute observers of what's going on over there in the Near East and the Middle East today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We had a couple of callers. I'm sorry they had to wait so long. If they want to call back, we'll be glad to get them on. But basically, I think this is so vitally important because this can have a profound impact here in the United States. We saw the stock market tank go 300, 340 points, something like that today. But we are, I believe, on the edge of a real economic downturn here. However, if war were to break out in the Middle East, and we're talking about closing down the Straits of Hormuz, which would really profoundly impact the availability of oil for Europe. Now, this is not so much of a problem here in the United States. We get our oil from other sources, but this would have a profound impact on Europe. And Europe already is having real problems. I mean, certainly their debt, most of the countries are in debt. Their banks are in real trouble. They're frightened to lend to one another. They've almost shut down, so much of the foundation of credit in the economy. And if there were to be a war in the Middle East on top of that, what are the implications of that, Jerry?
Well, you've got a situation where the price of oil worldwide would escalate if there's a regional war in the Middle East. So even though we don't get as much of our oil from the Middle East as we used to, we are getting oil from Mexico, from Canada, and from Venezuela. The price of oil escalating would increase the price of oil even to the United States and also reduce the supply to the rest of the world, because if the Straits of Hormuz are closed down or constrained by a regional war in the Middle East, of course that will restrict the supply of oil that will reach other parts of the world through the Straits of Hormuz. The oil issue is one that the world really cannot, at this point, easily sustain an increase in the price of oil. We are still very deeply into this recession, which may be about to enter into a double dip. You've got European nations now, even today, making it clear that Hungary is another one of the European countries which may be near bankrupt because of the cost of their social welfare programs, like Greece, with their declining tax revenue, with the economic downturn. So if the European Union is in economic distress right now from a whole series of governments that include not only Greece and Hungary, as we mentioned, but with Portugal, Spain, Ireland, Italy as well, Europe is not ready for an increase in the price of oil any more than the United States is ready for a price increase in oil. We still have very high unemployment in the United States, 9.7%, and our unemployment will be much higher than 9.7%, except for the temporary workers that have been employed by the census. This summer, those workers will all be let go. The census will be done with its field work, and we'll probably have unemployment in the United States heading back to 10%. So increased oil resulting, price of oil resulting from a regional war in the Middle East will be economically catastrophic to Europe and the United States and the Western economies in general.
And then, of course, the thing really over and above the terrible suffering that war brings, financially, the United States is not in a position to increase military expenditures, and yet, of course, there's no way to fight a war on the cheap other than simply to borrow the money. Well, we've been doing that for a long period of time. Our debt now is over $13 trillion, and that's just simply what we talk about. If you use the general accepted accounting procedures, why, you're talking $60 trillion or more, maybe much more than that. And then on top of that, the state and the local corporate debt, why, we're talking about sums that are so phenomenal they could never in all recorded time be, there's just no way of paying them off. So the last thing we want is another war, and yet I can see this thing looming, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Jerry, that this thing is almost as if it's inevitable. Certainly it looks like they're preparing the people of Israel in preparation to passing out the gas masks, giving them kits for biological and chemical warfare, and they've never done this thing before. They're holding these massive trials, you know, sort of make-believe wars, you know, what you would do when the attacks come. But, of course, you're talking about somewhere between, 45 and 85,000 missiles that Hezbollah has ready to launch on Israel. There's no way they could absorb a missile attack of that magnitude, is there?
No, it'd be catastrophic on Israel. There'll be thousands of people who will die in Israel. And the consequences of Hezbollah and Hamas launching massive missile attacks right now on Israel will leave Israel no choice but to launch military incursions into Lebanon and into the Gaza in retaliation and to protect itself. So this is where one step is going to lead to another in a regional war in the Middle East. I think it's just inevitable. I think it's now just a matter of time. And I'm trying to emphasize that the Obama administration, in its dereliction and its incompetence, change of policy and tilting toward Hamas, tilting toward the most radical elements in the Islamic world in the Middle East, including letting Iran know that we're going to do nothing to stop Iran from developing nuclear weapons. All this does is make it more likely that Israel is going to feel isolated and in a need to defend itself with a preemptive war.
Well, you know, because what I have heard, and I'd like to get your thought on this, that the Iranians know that they can never win a war with the United States, but they really believe that they could hurt us very much economically, that we are real economic problems now, and if they could inflict enough economic damage upon us, we would be forced to really back down from a confrontation over there. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do you think about that concept?
Well, I think that's exactly right. We're already, the United States is going to borrow $1.5 trillion this year just to keep operating with our federal government. And as you point out, Dr. Stan, I've written extensively my book, America for Sale, which people really need to read to understand how desperately close to bankruptcy the United States is. If you take a look at the gap accounting, we probably got $65 to $80 trillion negative net worth where we cannot fund programs like Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid in the future. We're already borrowing $1.5 trillion. A war in the Middle East would only escalate the U.S. debt by additional costs of that war. And where are we going to get the money? Again, we'd have to borrow from China or simply print the money. And we've already been printing the money. I mean, we're so desperately borrowing, I'm not sure how much more China and other nations of the world would lend the United States, and the cost of borrowing is going to go up. When that happens, again, we could have a bursting of the bubble in the stock market. We could have a bursting of the bubble in derivatives, another very complex set of almost a quadrillion worth of very complex bets, quadrillion dollars worth, have been placed by the financial institutions of the world that could collapse. It's like a house of cards. So the world financial situation could be pushed over the precipice by a regional war in the Middle East, which would involve costly expenses for the United States.
And, you know, I really don't think that the average American really understands that the history, that time and time again, great empires have been destroyed by irresponsible handling of the monetary system. And certainly it was Aristotle who said this, talking about the fiat money system that it destroyed ancient Greece, he said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And, of course, you know, Aristotle was said that with tongue in cheek, because you never have perfect authority and you never have godlike wisdom in kings. And why would we think that the people we have in charge now are going to be able to run a fiat money system any better than the ancient Greeks or the ancient Romans or the time of the Lombard financial system or they had in Florence? It's time and time again they've tried this sort of a system, and it hasn't worked. And, Chris, I don't think people understand what happens when you debauch a currency, and it seems that this is exactly what you're doing. You can't fight wars by simply borrowing money, and when people don't want to lend it to you, then, of course, you've got to simply go ahead and print it. And sooner or later, you get into the problem that the Weimar Republic did, or Zimbabwe, or Argentina. And it's happened over and over again, certainly in the South American dictatorships. Why would we think it can't happen here?
Well, it's in the process of happening here, even without a war in the Middle East. We are now at a 90% ratio of our national debt at $13 trillion to our gross domestic product, which is about $14 trillion. We will be at over 100% ratio probably by 2012. And we've only been at that ratio of 100% debt to gross domestic product once before in our history. It was during World War II and right after. And we very quickly got out of that situation. Here, there's no end in sight. The projections that have been done by former heads of the Congressional Budget Office project by 2060 or 2080, the United States could be at a 600% ratio debt to our gross domestic product. And at that ratio, it's unsustainable. Our debt service would be so costly and would take up so much of the federal budget that we would be bankrupt.
And, of course, basically what Dr. Corsi is talking about is the fact that you have to pay interest on your national debt, and you borrow the money. You've got to pay either American citizens or foreign countries or foreign central banks who hold the interest. And basically, when you're paying out more in interest than you can possibly take in from taxes, why, of course, then what do you do? And that is, of course, the bankruptcy that we are headed towards. And basically, the only reason we're getting by now is certainly the cost of borrowing money is so small. I think we're paying maybe 3%, something like that. But you start getting up to 6%, 10%, or as we did there in 1980, to paying 20% interest rates. At that point, why, the whole house of cards comes tumbling down. And basically, the Iranians know this, and they really believe that they can destroy the economy of our country. They can't beat us militarily, but if they can bankrupt America, they win. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yes, I think the Iranians have said that the United States is vulnerable financially. We are. And the Iranians have also said that Israel may have a very hard time defending itself in a regional war. It is taking on Lebanon, and Hezbollah is very entrenched in southern Lebanon, taking on Hamas in the Gaza. Hamas is very entrenched in the Gaza. Syria is ready to enter the war. When I was in the Golan Heights writing Why Israel Can't Wait, the Israelis have put new military establishments in the Golan Heights facing Syria. There are tanks, Israeli tanks, on 24-hour battle-ready preparedness in the field facing Syria. A regional war will tax to the limit Israel's military capability, which would quickly push Israel to the possibility of having to use tactical nuclear weapons to defend itself. Why I say a regional war in the Middle East is the worst possible solution, and it's totally unpredictable.
And yet, of course, I really fear that it is imminent, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but everything points in that direction. And the fact that the United States is sending its major terror task forces, 3 or 4 of them, into that region, suggests that the people in Washington, D.C. know something that they're not telling the American people.
Well, I've been predicting this since 2005. I've been saying constantly that Iran is trying to engineer a situation of a regional war. Iran's trying to, as quickly as it can, get nuclear weapons, which would permit Iran in one strike to destroy the Jewish state, one nuclear weapon detonated over Tel Aviv, would destroy Israel's business community, its commercial community, many of its government offices, its telecommunications center. And, you know, when you're in Israel, Israel is so developed these days, it's so advanced compared to where it was 40 or 50 years ago, it's hard to imagine that Israel could be quickly reduced to a much more primitive state by a nuclear attack that would be successful over Tel Aviv, or a regional war which would inflict damage across Israel just simply from rocket attacks coming from Hezbollah and Hamas.
And when you stop and think, we're talking somewhere between, I hear various figures, 45, 85,000. I don't know that it really makes that much difference between whether it's 45 or 85, because I think, you know, just a thousand missiles would certainly totally devastate modern Israel today.
Well, one or two missiles placed on Ben-Gurion Airport would shut it down. That's Israel's only real international airport. The same with missile attacks on Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. They could be devastating to the Israeli economy or the Israeli government. Could have Israeli telecommunications knocked off the air, not only in Israel, but worldwide. And the tactical situation of a war, a regional war, in the Middle East is not a war that Israel could fight for long. They would have to get it over with quickly.
Have to be very decisive very quickly. Let's quickly go to Bruce calling from Spokane. Hi, Bruce. You have a question for our guest.
Well, I have a comment. I certainly hope that he's not advocating that this is that a preemptive strike is going to be a good thing for everybody.
I don't think he's advocating at all. I think he's saying is that this is what the Israelis are contemplating.
If they're contemplating a preemptive strike, wouldn't Iran be contemplating a preemptive
You're
strike?
Absolutely right. I'm sorry, we're out of time, but appreciate
it's the worst possible scenario.
Hold that thought. Well, go right back. What are your thoughts on what the gentleman was saying? Because obviously,
I'm not advocating a preemptive strike. I'm predicting one. You know, I'm not anxious to die, but I'm happy.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Certainly nobody wants a war over there. But it would almost appear that there is a plan, there is a timeline. And, of course, this is my attitude, is that it certainly doesn't matter what I think, what I want. The last thing I want is a war, because when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And an awful lot of people, good people, Jewish people, Palestinian people, Lebanese people, Syrians, Iranians, an awful lot of good people are going to die. But I'm very, very fearful that our men are being left in Afghanistan and Iraq to be slaughtered. I really do. I believe that there's absolutely no reason to fight a 9-year war in Afghanistan. And we're no closer to winning the war, because we never went there to win in the first place. We never should have gone there. And we're there now. And we're going to leave those men vulnerable. 90,000 troops, 100,000 contractors in Afghanistan, probably 125,000 American troops. I don't know how many contractors are there certainly in Iraq. And they're vulnerable when this war comes. And hope and pray that it doesn't occur. But understand that there really are Luciferian forces in the world. And when you look at what's going on and you try to explain it from a rational point of view, when you explain it from the Israeli point of view and from the point of view of the Palestinians or the point of view of the people in Hezbollah or Hamas, you know, people don't understand. Hamas was created by the CIA. We carry a book called The Devil's Game. You need to get it. You need to understand. Where did Hezbollah came from? Why it came from? It was formed by the mullahs over there in Iran. Who installed the mullahs in Iran in 1979? The American CIA. And I can remember so well in 1979 wondering, why in heaven's name would the American CIA topple the Shah, who may not have been perfect, but he was a friend of America with a very large army and certainly a stabilizing force. Why would we destroy that and install the mullahs? It didn't make any sense in 1979. But today, if you understand that there really are forces that are moving us towards a terrible war in that area. At this point, a long range planning, because I believe there is a plan. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, you need to read it, and you need to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes that most people don't understand. Certainly, you need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and on the financial Armageddon and their syllabus, with both of those, including, of course, going into the background, the financial Armageddon, who Barack Obama really is. I mean, you think you know who Barack Obama is. You've read lots of books about him. But what did the Luciferians say? What does Corrine McLaughlin and her husband, Gordon Davidson, who come from the Lucius Trust, it used to be the Lucifer Publishing House, what do they say about Barack Obama? And until you understand the spiritual forces that are involved, nothing makes sense today. Well, Cindy, you remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And Cindy, I think everybody feels very, very strongly about what is coming down the line. And Cindy, I didn't mean to cut Bruce off, but I had to go to the break. And Cindy, we need to understand that we are moving into the most dangerous time, I believe, in the history of our nation. And the average individual has no idea what's really going on. You need to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, listen to our radio programs. We have a lot of great programs there that will help you to understand what's going on. And we will point you to the things that nobody else is going to tell you. Cindy encouraged others to go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen 9 hours a day to the satellite. There's MP3 blog. There's the archive.